You're listening to A Certain Degree. It's me. I'm Nick. This is from an episode from way back in March, but I thought it was really important to include, and also because I like re-listening to it. It's our friend and yours, Brendan O'Connor from the Orlando Shine, was on the show. He discussed the Orlando Shine, its coverage area, some of his favorite stories to date, and a little bit more about all the jobs and past lives that he's had here in Orlando in a very short amount of time. Enjoy it, and tell Brendan that you listened. And tell me that you listened too. Smashing Pumpkins on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree. That was from the 1995 album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, about the time when a 13-year-old Brendan O'Connor would have been listening to emo music.
Yes.
Somewhere in Canada.
Northern Ontario.
Good morning. My name is Nick. I am here every Wednesday from 8 to 10, and sometimes I am just lucky enough to have amazing people come in and share the airwaves with me, and today is no exception. Brendan O'Connor is here. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited. Any excuse to come on the radio and just shoot the shoot.
Shooting all of the shoot. Well, thank you so much for being here. You know Brendan from a lot of different places. I'll list some of them, but let's start out with Orlando Shine. Go to OrlandoShine.com. The Orlando Shine on Facebook and Instagram and potentially other socials. I don't know. I just go to
all of them.
I'm an elder Gen Xer, so I just go to Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
The Orlando Shine Show, of course, with John Busdecker. You can get that wherever you get your podcast. People know you from Orlando Shine, but they may know you from a lot of other places. So I'm just going to list.
Okay.
Can you confirm
produce aisle at Fresh Market?
Some of the places. Oh, we definitely know you from there. And many of the coffee shops, but also the Urban Think Foundation.
Yeah.
You were there for
back
a bit.
In the day.
The Orlando Weekly.
Yeah, I was the calendar editor for a hot minute there. Worst job I ever had.
Doing the calendar for the community paper is so hard.
It's a slog.
Just a few others. Bungalower. You probably know Brendan from Bungalower for a long time. Really the face of Bungalower.
I want to say 12 years, I think I was there.
Orlando Magazine.
I have a food column and I'm a travel writer for them too.
Epcot Center, is that right?
Yeah, that's actually what brought me here.
Okay, great.
To be an authentic Canadian at the Canadian Steakhouse.
And I do want to talk about being Canadian. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on because I am technically Canadian.
Yes, which is great.
I was born there and we moved to Florida when I was a month old.
But you have an escape plan.
I 100%. Happens.
Yeah.
I have never become an American citizen.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that for you.
I kept that. Very straightforward. Very local, your television shows.
Oh my gosh,
on there.
It's based on that. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a streaming service by Wesh News' parent company, Hearst, which has since gone belly up, but they play it over and over again on Wesh now.
You can still go and stream them online if you look at very local
and
in
I can't
Orlando.
Even remember the name of the shows.
There was
bad?
One about jobs. There was one about
the
new places. There was one about...
On the radar. On the radar and on the job.
Like, depending on how late you've stayed up, like, if you're trying to stay awake and you're kind of watching that, it becomes kind of X-Files-y. Like, you start, hunting ghosts and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, because you kind of get into your dream, like, the watcher's dreams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you realize that.
You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, nice job.
I'm just in there sorting through your unmentionables in your dream closet.
And now the Orlando Shine.
And now the Orlando Shine, my new baby. The name makes me feel like a Care Bear every day.
Perfect.
Yeah, just shining the light on Central Florida.
If you know Brendan, that does jive very much with your personality, being a Care Bear.
Thank you.
And I think that, you know, almost 9 months, you've gestated this baby for almost 9 months, so congratulations.
Yeah, thank
Happy
you.
Happy almost anniversary.
Actually, that should have been the hook. We should have waited to 9 months, and then it was like...
Oh, just say it's a preemie. Yeah.
8 months preemie?
Orlando Shine is an 8 months preemie.
It's an 8 month preemie. Yeah. I guess that happens.
It's in the incubator.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We had a little chicken.
At Winnie Palmer. Yeah.
That's what it was, a little incubator baby.
So tell me a little bit about, so go to Orlando Shine, follow you on all the socials, do all that, find out what's going on with Orlando and the surrounding community, right? So Orlando Shine has Orlando in the name, but one of the things that I think you were doing with this is taking on a bigger
area of coverage.
Well, so, you know, we said I've been with the B word for over 10 years, and that coverage area was primarily or the Orlando's downtown bungalow neighborhoods.
Right. You added Winter Park at some point.
I did, just because I was like, this needs to be in here. And at that time, nobody was covering Winter Park.
Yeah.
And actually, we didn't. I also added Paramore and Westlakes because nobody was writing about them. And actually, I was writing a story about redlining in downtown Orlando and how it kind of parroted the CRA. And I realized that was early on at the B word. And I realized that we were following the red line districts and nobody was covering the historic black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And same in Winter Park. So, yeah, I extended them, obviously, immediately. That was right when I started flexing at that job, just because I was running everything by the owner all the time. But at that point, I was like,
we're just going
to
do this.
It just has to happen.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. And there's so many stories happening, especially in Paramore and in West Lakes, because those are the areas that the city owns like 50% of the property over there. And so they're making all these arenas and, you know, all those things.
So now Orlando Shine, you are covering much more.
Windermere to Cape Canaveral is what I've been saying. And that, in the transition to Orlando Shine, we kept our show. We had a show called B Word in the Bus.
Yep.
And we kept the show on 104.1, which is great. And so those followers came with us to Orlando Shine. But that coverage area for that radio station is primarily Central Florida. So Windermere
So you expanded that accordingly.
So let's expand it to match the show that we got to keep. And I never looked back. And I think real Central Floridians live a regional life anyway. That's something that I've wrestled with through all that time with the B word.
They want more than that.
Yeah.
They don't just stay in their one neighborhood.
If you're
going
to live your best Central Florida life, that is a life where you get to go to Rock Springs Run in Apopka. And you get to go, you know,
you should learn about
with
these
your
things.
Bare butt out in the sand at Cape Canaveral, Bay Olinda. You know, like that's your best Central Florida life. You can't ignore those things.
Yeah.
You get to stay downtown. That's crazy.
I think we'll talk a little bit about this later if we have time, because I just think having you in the studio is such a gift, and there's a thousand things I want to talk about.
Nick,
so
through this
you'll
process,
have to come back.
I will come back anytime you want. Just, you know, shine up. Just jingle some food wrappers at me, and I'll show up. Through the process, it's been fun because we've also become better friends through this process in leaving that. And it's not as, because you know, your time at community paper, you were a rival for so it's fun to not have those same rivalries anymore.
I think we're complementary. Like the ecosystem. I like the journalism ecosystem for the most part here in Orlando. And we can talk about some of the negatives too, because we're on this show and we're not at the community paper, which is good news only. But let's just talk, going back to Orlando Shine for a second.
Okay.
What are some of your favorite stories? What are some stories you're working on right now? Like after these 8 months,
sure.
Should we shine a light on Orlando Shine?
Ooh, good one. Good segue. Oh my gosh.
I'm a joy to talk to.
I made a slideshow. So I actually have a slide. I have some things listed already of the top 10 stories, just the most read. Do you want to do that?
Yeah,
and then I can drop some of my favorites.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, nobody cares about those ones. Well, the biggest one that I did was Dead in the Water. I'm really proud of that. It was like an investigative journalism piece that came out from the bird flu epidemic that's just sweeping the nation. And not to beat a dead swan, because you and I had to talk about this over at the other station.
Yep, Central Florida Public Media. We went on Steve Mort's new show, Talking Central Florida. You can go and listen to that right now and hear us and see us in the studio, too.
A couple of handsome dudes talking about
Canadians.
The news.
Handsome Canadians talking about Orlando. We should just call it
a Brit.
The Snowbird Report.
Yeah, and it was hosted by a Brit. It was too much. Dead in the Water, really proud of it. I was reporting on the bird flu issues that were happening at downtown Orlando at Lake Eola. And then I pulled on some threads, and it turns out I got to talk to Andrew Marshall, who was at the time the lead SWAN docent for the volunteer program there. And he had all of these emails and these records because the city just doesn't really want to run the program. And mm-hmm. they were just really leaning on these volunteers to do their work for them. And he had all the receipts, and the receipts were crazy. They were telling.
Yeah.
And it told a story of how these SWANs weren't really getting taken care of, and how it was about more than just bird flu, and how some of these swans were just sick to begin with, and how since they were so sick to begin with, when this big flu came through, it was even worse. We lost, I don't know, 37, is that what we said?
I think around swan, 37, yeah.
By the end of it.
Portion, yeah.
That's crazy. And how when I'm speaking to experts, they're saying maybe we should only have 2 swans on the lake and not 80 swans. And what is the carrying capacity? And the city wasn't ready to hear all that. But I was really proud of it. It was a longer piece I ever got to do at the B Word. So really, really fun to stretch those muscles and see what happened. Everyone was excited about PDQ closing all of their PDQ, the fried chicken restaurant, when that closed. That was one of our most read stories through the last 8 months.
And the one in Winter Park is becoming a Saucy, a KFC Saucy. Is that right?
Which I refuse to write about.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, because who cares?
Yeah.
But apparently everybody cares because every single outlet has written about Saucy. Did you guys write about Saucy?
We didn't because if I get – and I think we'll talk about biases a little bit later because I really do think this is an important thing to talk about when it comes to the hyper-local stuff. If a company that big is reaching out with a press release, even if it would be super easy to write about,
yes,
I'm probably not going to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me more, Nick. Banana Ball coming to town, you know, the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge because we, you know, we had got you enough time to submit for the lottery system mm-hmm. so you can maybe win tickets. I didn't. Very upset about that. Orlando Pickle Fest coming up on April 25th was huge for us. Dr. Phillips Center launching their holiday festival. Then we wrote about the Panda Fest coming up. That broke the internet. But our biggest story so far has been about the death investigation for Adam the Woo.
The
YouTuber.
Yep.
Who died of heart failure, which is such a shame. But people were just thirsty for more information about mm-hmm. Adam the Woo for over the last few months. And I think we broke the news about the death investigation and the results. I think we were one of the first people to get that out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, but favorite story wise.
Favorite stories, yeah. So you've gotten to cover some really fun stuff, and you get to go out there, and you get to hear from people. I think that they know you as the person to go to first.
You know what?
When it comes to breaking a story.
And I was scared when everyone told me I should start my own thing for years, right? And I was like, well, who cares about me? You know, like they're only talking to me because of the B Word, because of the story and institution that is this weird blog, right? But nobody seemed to give two poops about it. And when I left, and it was about me. People followed me, and that's lovely, knock on wood. And the only challenge has been to reaffirm to people that I'm not there anymore and I've started my own thing. So because it has continued without me, they have a new writer, and just trying to drive home that please do not think that that's my writing. That's somebody else.
Brendan is over here now.
Brendan is here now. That's somebody else. But keeping those contacts has been lovely and life affirming, Nick, I have to say. Like yesterday, news came out about Writer's Block having to close their Winter Garden location.
I saw that.
And there were two other outlets that beat me to it, but they couldn't get a hold of Lauren Zimmerman, the owner. And I got her cell phone, you know, through years of being here, right? And not only do I have her phone number, she picked up when she saw that it was me.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, I know people. I've been screening my calls, but I know you.
I know you.
Let's talk. And she gave me some of the tea. You can read that on OrlandoShine.com. But just a lovely, that was very life affirming for me because we don't talk all the time, but the fact that she still remembered me from my time there and that I'd done her right the last few times that we had interacted.
I think that's a big component of it too, is that you're not telling the story out of turn. You're not telling the story without knowing all the details. You know,
you make mistakes through the years. There's been a couple of those.
I've made a ton. Honest. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, my background is in city planning, you know, environmental growth management. Yeah. I got that degree here at Rollins College. But it never was at journalism. And so I for a long time, fought that. I never wanted to claim that I was a journalist. I just kind of fell into news. So as more we all like do storytelling, sometimes. Right? Yeah. Just sharing stories.
Yeah.
And I think that's more, I think coming through that has helped me kind of slow down a little bit and not have to break news all the time and maybe just kind of try to tell the whole story. And I think that helps. And people don't, they know I'm not there to get you, which some people are, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Or they want to break the news immediately, yeah, even if something is embargoed in some way, right?
Yeah, there is a sexy energy that comes from being the first.
Oh, 1,000%.
Oh my gosh, and is that ego coming through?
Oh yeah.
Do you think that it was?
Okay. Yeah. I knew about this first. I ran into this person randomly. That happened to me recently. I ran into John Kenknight from Sam Flax, and he told
me. And you knew before I did.
Oh yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah,
about Sam Flax having to move.
Through. Yeah, but they already have a place, and so great for them.
But why won't he tell us where it is?
I know. I want to know.
Is he still signing a contract?
If that's the case, then let's try to get it near to my house.
Right.
Right.
Because he's moved before. We're talking about Sam Flax. That just came out yesterday.
Yes.
They shared on their social media, Sam Flax, the art supply store, is moving. They make it sound like it's a bigger opportunity moving. They're excited to move.
But really,
something happened with the building.
Somebody bought it, and they are not renewing the lease.
So, and that's a big thing that we're seeing right now. These businesses that don't own their buildings are at risk.
Yeah.
You know, and same, that's what happened with the bookshop, I'll tell you, save you a click, but you should go click it over in Orlando Shine.
OrlandoShine.com.
OrlandoShine.com. Thank you. All of these properties are being purchased primarily by one buyer over in Winter Garden, downtown Winter Garden. We don't know for what reason beyond the fact that the guy that's buying it has a vision that he hasn't really shared publicly about what he wants to do in downtown Winter Garden. But because of that, he has increased the leases in his buildings by like 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And so the market rate has increased. And now everybody on that street is doing the same thing. If he's charging 50% more, I should be charging 50% more. And yeah, so the.
Or I should be leaving because I can't.
Yeah, or sell it to somebody else. Yeah. And kick out those people and get in somebody who can pay that 50% markup. But those people who pay that 50% markup are not bookstores. It's not retail. It's going to be
probably not going to be local. And,
some chain restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, interesting. My favorite headline so far.
Oh, yes.
There was Orlando. I did this one that was based on a data thing. Orlando police was called to talk. Everyone was talking about police calls downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is crazy downtown. So I did a request and I was like, I would love to see all the incidents of the police being called somewhere downtown over the last year. Just where is this? And so I got this big list. And if you ever do an information request, they just throw data at you. They don't care. It's up to you to interpret it. And so I did a little heat map of where it was happening, the times it was happening. You could see those results on the story. But it turned out that Taco Bell Cantina was the most called spot. They were calling cops all the time, 200 times, over 200 times in the past year.
So Taco Bell Cantina. The Taco Bell itself or people there were calling cops?
In and around Taco Bell Cantina.
Okay.
And if you have ever watched that Instagram, Meanwhile in Florida, which is a young man with Ray-Ban glasses just walking through downtown Orlando looking at booties. You know, can I say booty?
Yeah, you can say
booty.
Okay,
great. It's too late. I said it twice.
Yep.
And just documenting the side of downtown, which is funny because everyone's always like, oh, downtown's dead. Downtown's crazy. Nobody goes downtown. Thousands of people are going downtown.
Yeah, there's no lack of people downtown.
Yeah, they're just not white. You know, right. Which is maybe why white people are complaining about it, because they don't look like that. Interesting, just an interesting thing. I love looking at data like that. We're working with a lot of photographers still, which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan Duncan did a beautiful piece of – he did some great shots at the latest Orlando-Miami match for Orlando City Soccer.
The football.
Football,
yes.
With Mr. Messi and friends. I can't even call it a team because it's really just Messi.
Some others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody, none of the Miami fans chant anybody else's names. They just chant Messi the whole match.
They don't care about
And they don't care about anyone else on the team. And it's so sad, even though they
made
beat us.
I think you made the point on socials, too, that you can't go near Messi without getting called for a foul.
It was
insane.
Yeah. And I had heard people saying that. And I was like, sure, sure. But then I saw it. That was the first match I had seen with Messi, because it's the first one he showed up at a home game.
Yeah.
Because he would always avoid playing Orlando on our home turf. That was the first time. He would literally point at someone, and they would get a yellow card. And it happened. It was documented on television. We all saw it, you know, but we still knocked him on his butt, which was great.
Good.
What else? Favorite, favorite, favorite. I loved reporting on Orlando Critical Mass and how the kids were ruining it. And
yep.
Although I kind of feel like the onslaught of coverage about that incident, was there was a kid who was stunting on his bike, crashed into a car. She didn't know what to do. She was kind of stuck in the middle of mass. Nobody.
She had damage to her car. The kid was fine.
Yeah, kid was fine. He took off.
Yeah, she stopped because she saw all these cars coming. He was doing a wheelie and rammed into her car, messing it up.
Took off. Nobody helped her. She was, you know, so frustrated. She took to social media, shared it. We know her. You know, she's an executive director.
She's an amazing Main Street person. Director. Yep.
Yeah, she works so hard in her community. She loves cyclists. And the fact that it happened to her was just crazy. But because of that, now we don't really have a critical mass because the people who had taken over couldn't control these kids and they ruined everything. So that's a lesson in that kids ruin everything.
We've always said that on this show. I think that was one of our taglines. Yeah. For a long time.
I wrote a piece of, I got to interview the nighttime, manager for New Orleans.
Yeah, that was a great story and so timely for what was going on downtown.
Because the city of Orlando's reaction to all of this was more police.
More police and being paid by the clubs.
Yes, charge the clubs for more police, but never send those police people don't show up to those venues that have to pay for it.
Right.
They're just downtown somewhere, you know, riding their bikes. We don't really see them.
Yeah.
Which is insane. And taxation without representation. And in the French Quarter did it different. And they have arguably more people and more issues than downtown Orlando does.
You can open carry alcohol all over the French Quarter.
Imagine.
And yeah, you have more potential for a lot of issues there.
You do. And so what does that look like? And they're so mindful in their approach. There was science. There were science-based answers for what they're doing. They had just had an issue where somebody had driven. When I spoke to the nighttime manager, Michael Intz, who is a former Central Floridian, he went to, I think, UF.
Oh, okay.
Or UCF. I get them confused. Same difference. Not Rollins College.
Yeah, it's not Rollins.
And he had a feeling. He had partied downtown. He knew the difference. And he was following what they were trying to do here. And he was like, I just don't get it. Because it's not based in science. It's based in a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
And
it sounds good to a certain population that this is happening.
Right.
And that's what it feels more performative than anything else.
So read the interview. I was really proud of how that turned out. Anyway, I could talk all day. But we've had some really fun things to write about over the last few months. And it's, you know, I have a Let's Fix It column where I can interview experts about how they would approach a certain problem.
Yeah.
You know, the latest one was talking to Disney horticultural experts about how they would approach the frost damage to the plants in your yard. Or the one before that, I spoke with an architect and someone who used to run the Winter Garden Theater about how they would revive the Plaza Cinema Cafe in downtown Orlando, the importance of doing something like that in a downtown. Because when that first opened, it was subsidized by the CRA in downtown Orlando, like for a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it just kind of went downhill almost months after it opened and then it finally fizzled out. So what does it look like to not have a theater downtown, especially in a downtown that the city is trying to make more family friendly?
And trying to get more people living there. And you want something like that. You don't want them driving off and doing that somewhere else.
So that's why they subsidize the grocery store, the Publix downtown. And they subsidize things like that, those uses. And I wrote about it. So anyway, I'll stop talking.
Well, let's take a quick break. Let's play some more music. By the way, Brendan has chosen all the music today. I will put that out as it's a Spotify playlist. So you can listen to all that. And
are you saying that because you would never choose some of these songs because they're crazy?
No, they're great.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I love letting people DJ because then I get to hear stuff that I may not have heard for a while. Okay. Like I completely forgot about Franz Ferdinand Take Me Out.
So
which we'll play a little bit later on. But yeah, so songs like that.
Okay.
So I'll put that out there on my socials on Brendan will hopefully repost because
I will.
He's way better than me in a number of ways. But OrlandoShine.com, we're going to listen to Kaylin Russo next, Bad Things.
Oh, good one.
All right. You picked it.
Canadian so, yeah. Song made famous by Heated Rivalry.
Oh, perfect. On WPRK Winter Park, Florida, you're listening to A Certain Degree.
Saddle up.